It's time to get brutally honest.
Louis Erickson sucks right now.
Yeah, he sucks.
I watched him last night.
Ray, do you know what else sucks? His contract sucks.
Not for him.
Well, his hair sucks, too.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
There has been some very important surgery performed to the Overdrive 1050 Twitter account.
I like to call it rebranding.
Yes.
The Scotty Mac Show.
The hell with it?
Featuring Overdrive.
Featuring Overdrive. Featuring O-Dog and Noodles.
It is.
You still got to get rid of the picture of the three of us. Hayes has got to be off the Twitter account completely by the end of the show, and it's just Scotty Mac.
You're going to put his mug there?
Where's
mug?
Like, put there. The Scotty Mac face on the back profile, too. It's all Scotty
Mac. You want the Scotty Mac photo on to both. Take over from you the should, Hayes wedding
you
know photo.
You need on both.
You need the superimposed... Your head on the Costanza body.
The better
the key word is tasteful.
Would be if you just get Scotty Mac's face and put it over Hayes's face here.
Yeah. Somebody get the wedding photo, cut it out.
Yeah, get Hayes's face out of the wedding photo and then put Scotty Mac's face there.
Superimpose Scotty Mac's face over Hayes's face. Yeah.
Tyler keeps telling me the photos have changed. I'm still seeing Hayes's wedding photo in the background, and I'm still seeing Hayes, Noodles, and Barry Colt mascot.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's been changed?
You've got to update that.
Yeah,
all
you right. need to refresh, buddy.
There it is. See, there's Scotty Mac's face in the background, but I still think...
Oh, there it is. And it is a gem.
There we go.
Of a photo.
We got a new show. We've rebranded.
Looks like
we like competitors on this show.
Looks like one of those... Snapchat filters where your face just goes.
Yeah, it does look a little creepy. I would rather have Scotty Mac's face superimposed on Hayes's head.
Yeah, that's
a wedding photo.
If someone could do that, like that has any kind of computer ability, send that to us.
I think I could do it. I actually have to talk, so it would take me a while to cut and paste. So let's talk some sports.
Let's get this thing back on track.
No, we're only 5:03 and we've been completely off the rails.
All right.
One gentleman that's not exactly happy right now received a text message.
Oh, yes.
Darcy Tucker thought he was a close friend of the show.
Oh, you know what? Tuck's
well, he is
probably
a close friend.
1A. He is probably a 1A. Like Dougie G. But if you actually had to rank legendary status in this city. Okay, so Austin's obviously pushing himself into that.
Well, he's a current guy, right?
Current guy. But Dougie G, your boy Tux isn't far off.
Oh, he's...
Ugly Face McCabe, where does he rank on there?
He's nowhere.
He's probably not top 10.
100, no. He's now, like a top 100 guy.
McCabe would be top 5 guest of the show. But I think Tux is right there.
Yeah.
He would be a 1A because... We like him.
So he's a co-best friend.
And he hates Brian.
Well,
Hayes.
He doesn't hate. He gets on Brian because Brian has... We should call him
no,
hot
every
takes.
Time Brian Hayes makes a statement, Darcy Tucker will text me and say, this guy's an idiot. And I'm like, I know. And I have to work with him every day.
It's kind of the nature of the radio host, right?
It is.
Rant and rave and scream.
Rant and rave. And Brian has his hot takes. And he... A lot of times, they're fair assessments, but he goes... If it's a fair assessment that hits 8, he'll go to 10. So he'll give it a little bit extra push to get a reaction. And that's what makes him really good. But Tux, it hits a nerve with him, and Tux will text immediately.
Yeah, this guy's an idiot.
And go, what's this guy talking about? So Tux, I would agree, is a top 2. He's a 1A. We got to give it to Dougie G just because Dougie listens to us, like, I think, quite religiously. Does he not?
I think he does. He does a lot of traveling. And Dougie G...
What, just text you as well?
No, there's a killer 93 beer launch party downtown.
Ooh.
So,
Killer's
got the book, he's got beers coming out.
You could argue that Tucker's one of the more popular Leafs of all time. considering what was his highest in goals?
He scored 20 goals a year.
But he was hugely
around and beat people up.
I'm saying popularity, not goals and assists.
You got to get where I'm coming from with all those early 2000s Leafs. I was living and starting my career in Ottawa, boys. Yeah. So that's Senators land.
That was
and Pat Quinn was. Well, what pisses them off the most up there is that half the building is Leafs fans, at least when right. Toronto goes in there. But Senators fans were always on the defensive about Pat Quinn, who used to, in the media, steal Jacques Martin's lunch in post-game press conferences, pre-game press conferences during playoffs. And, of course, those Leafs teams would always win on heart. Darcy going into the bench.
Yeah.
You know, Travis Green, Shane Corson.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's actual context for the rivalry that Toronto and Ottawa had back in the day from an Ottawa perspective anywhere down here.
Well, it was the Battle of Ontario. It's not even a battle anymore. It's like they're just two teams. There's no... I don't know if there's much animosity in any kind of...
But, you know,
but there's those old personalities are gone, right? I mean, the game is so benign now. You see a big body check, and like, I haven't seen one of those in a while.
The other night, there was a... I watched this morning on SportsCenter, a guy hit somebody through the glass, and it was like the biggest hit you've ever seen. Like, people were reacting like that was the worst hit you've ever seen in your life. I'm like, that, yeah, it was because it was through the glass, it was memorable, but they were acting like that was the most egregious hit people have ever thrown in their lives. That's how the game has really changed. Not, you know, not for the worse or the better, it's just changed. That's my point. The game is different. So watching Saturday night, that animosity between Montreal and Toronto, Toronto and Ottawa, it just doesn't, until there's villains in the game. Who's the villain of the Ottawa Senators?
You also have to have a playoff series, right?
I mean, you need that something on the line other than just a regular season game.
Like, I can sit here and say, I didn't really have a feeling one way or the other about the Washington Capitals this time last year. Now I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night's game. I want to see how the Leafs stack up with this Capitals team, and I don't like the Washington Capitals. They took our guys out last April. You feel differently about that. If they get together again this spring, and it's back-to-back playoffs against the same team, you get a series in each, all of a sudden you're building and developing something. And for the Leafs, because you don't make the playoffs for a decade, you can't develop those rivalries.
Well, now that you have... Now it's a point where if you are going to be a playoff team year in and year out, and looks like that's what the Leafs are going to be. So, to your point, now it's going to be not just six games, maybe they go second, third, fourth round, whatever it takes, you're going to have a big hit, a big play, something that creates a villain or creates hatred towards an organization. I don't want to say it's fake hatred, because there are people that I talk to in this market that legitimately don't like the Ottawa Senators if you're a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, but it stems back to Alfie and Tucker. It doesn't stem back to, you know, Carlson making his moves recently in the last couple of years. There were villains, and there's plays that you gravitate to and you stick with them. I mean, That's kind of what's going to happen.
The rivalries always happen with playoff series.
That's it.
You're right.
If Pittsburgh played Ottawa again in the first round this year, then they'd be like, okay, we got a rivalry going here. But
that's what we talk about, Pittsburgh and Washington, right?
Yeah.
Except it's been pretty one-sided in the playoffs, same way the Leafs and Senators were 15 years ago.
And things change. You know, I think I've told you guys, I had Washington winning the Cup this year because they've done nothing the last how many years? And Anaheim was like that for a couple years for me. San Jose was the same team that disappointed me. Washington has had all of this regular season success, hasn't translated to the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see if they continue to just fly under the radar. They're a pretty good team. And it'll be a big test for the Leafs tomorrow. And to Babcock's comments and actions, he's trying to hammer his team. They've got a great start. But I think he wants the details of their game a lot sharper so that they don't hit the ditch when things start to tighten up a little bit in the league.
And this is going to be the first back-to-back of the season for the Leafs, because they got Washington on the road tomorrow night. They're back at home on Wednesday against Detroit. Babcock says Curtis McElhinney's going to get one of the two games. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't specify which this morning, but I think it's Freddie tomorrow night and McElhinney on Wednesday. I'd be stunned if it was the other way around.
No, it has to be.
Is there any reason to be worried, Jamie, about how Anderson is playing? Because they're 4-1, 8 out of a possible 10 points here out of the gate, but Freddie's numbers are actually worse than they were this time last year.
Jamie can talk about the technical stuff, but he's got to look at it as a positive that they're 4-1, and he can clean up his game a little bit. Like it's a non-stressful type situation where he can say, and if he's a pro, which I think he is, he can be doing all the video work and working with.
Okay, so you're 100% right. Here's, I'm going to lay out a scenario for you, and what's concerning, just from a goaltender's perspective. Freddie can be better. Technically, I did something the other day where I thought he was having trouble finding sight lines for the puck, because with the enforced rules, guys, defensemen are having a tough time cleaning the front of the net, clearing them, because you can't slash a guy and push him out of the way that way with your stick. There's been a lot of calls. But, for example, and I'm just saying hypothetical, say Freddie struggles tomorrow night and they lost. The numbers, to your point, you're going to say, boys, he had a rough start. His save percentage is this, and his goals against is this. What happens is it's fine when you're winning, but the minute that you lose, it's always like, well, his goals against or save percentage in the last three games have been 850. That's not good enough. League average is 915 or 917. So it's fine now, to Jeff's point, because they're winning. But the minute that if they start to lose or had a couple losses in a row and Freddie didn't look sharp, very concerning. I think he can be better. I know he can better. Not I think. I know he can be better. But I also think that the team can be better in front of him, and it kind of goes hand in hand. And let's not forget, I thought he was really good in the third period against the Canadiens. Canadiens really pressed in the third, and I thought he made a couple big, big saves. Those are tough games sometimes because Montreal was pressing a lot, and Freddie made some good saves, and then what was happening? Toronto goes down and scores. Or Matthews makes a great play, and we all focus on that, but you don't focus on, hey, Freddie made some good saves to give them a chance to hang in there. So hand in hand.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, this team can score at will sometimes. So if you get a big save, the other end of the ice, it can lead to a transition goal.
At the right time, and that's what Freddie's, listen, they're 4-1. It's hard to nitpick, but if you are going to nitpick, there are things that he can clean up in his game, and you hope that it happens sooner than later, that he looks more comfortable in there, because it's consistently he hasn't put together a full 60 where he's just been dominant. And neither have the Leafs, but they're 4-1.
I mean, who knows what the trends are? He's got an 880 save percentage right now. He had an 876 last October coming off the suspected shoulder thing from the Olympic qualifier. But then he moved to 931 in November.
And got real sharp. And let's not forget, look around the league. Price's numbers down, Talbot's numbers down, Martin Jones' numbers down. Like, there are, I think, 8 to 10 starters, like legitimate high-end starters, if not the best in the game.
I think it all comes down to the slashing, because the guys are getting shots off and better opportunities.
Yeah. More opportunities.
Talbot's been yanked, twice?
Twice already, in four games.
Yeah. Edmonton is, they need to...
Well, I was thinking, suck or don't suck, the Ottawa Senators without Erik Karlsson right now don't suck.
No.
I think I do
those rankings for the power rankings.
Yeah.
I had Edmonton like 20-something.
They were down there because
I only do it on what's happened in the past week. I don't care about...
Yeah.
Like whatever brand, like name of the guy in the jersey. I just look at what they've done, and if you're good, you go up. If you're bad, you go down. And Edmonton was... I was like, where do I slide them in? Do they go here? They were like 20... I think
they haven't played well. They haven't played well in the last couple games. The unfortunate part for them is that had a ton of spacing. So it was almost like the Leafs schedule. They played 4 days off, then played, then 3 days off. So you live with two games in basically 8 days. And both of those games stunk for them. So now there's all hell's breaking loose in Edmonton. Pretty much if would be happening here if the Leafs had spaced out and didn't play very well. All you do is talk about it and talk about it. Instead of them getting out there and trying to redeem themselves, they got to play better. Cam Talbot hasn't been good enough, and Draisaitl being injured has affected some of that. McDavid got an assist last game, but I didn't think he was dominant. I think they had some good chances, but they just couldn't And not enough credit's being given to the Ottawa Senators, who mowed through Western Canada, literally. I know. We're looking at pictures of Scotty Mac being superimposed on Hayes. It's unbelievable. People are so great on Twitter, like creative that way.
I didn't get that one linked to me. I am definitely going to use that. Is going on the resume at some point. That is
pretty funny. It's awesome.
Oh my God, that's probably one of the worst photos I've ever taken too. So it's just perfect.
You know what I'm going to subscribe to though, and I'm going to basically steal Bobby Mack's comment. Let's see how teams have shooken out in the first month to 6 weeks, because Buffalo won their first game the other night.
Man, they partied too, like they just won the cup.
But that's the thing, teams that you expected more, like, is Colorado and Vegas going to hang around?
Yeah.
People have different timelines where they're like, okay, this is when I know what our team is.
Yeah.
It's a pretty much a month in.
U.S. Thanksgiving, isn't it?
If you don't know what you are a month in, and there's been all kinds of amazing stories in sports, the Oakland Athletics, winning their last Moneyball games to get in the playoffs, right. That streak they went on, but generally it doesn't happen that much. You are what we thought you were.
And you let him off the hook. Vegas with Malcolm Subban.
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't know anything
about Malcolm Subban as a goaltender, but I like the idea of somebody believing in him and saying, you know what, give it a shot.
And then putting him out there, because Fleury's got the suspected concussion. Yeah. Putting him out there against his old team, or the team that drafted and developed him. He's still wearing the black and yellow pads and all that, and he's out there.
And it would go. It goes with Vegas colors, luckily. Too,
yeah.
Right. So, but yeah, it was Boston stunk. They didn't look very good last night. But Vegas deserves credit. They work hard. They've got system. People forget that Gerard Gallant is actually a very good coach. Like, they've got some talent on that team. It may not be, elite talent, but James Neal is a good player. David Perron's a good player. Like, those young, I'm going to butcher their names, Tuck, I guess you'd call
it. He scored a nice goal.
Shipashoff,
yeah. Same thing. Like, they've got some young talent. Their defensive core is solid, not brilliant, but solid. Like, they're not going to be the Atlanta Thrashers.
Who knows what they're going to ultimately be, but it's a good story for...
It is.
If you're the owner and you bought that team, you couldn't draw it up any better, because you're like, the last thing I want to do is to have 10-1 blowouts.
Yeah, there's just great pictures. So we're getting distracted.
I'm retweeting them when I see them.
David or Dean sent in a picture of us at Hayes' wedding.
That's not the best Photoshop, sir.
But it's still a great Photoshop.
Yes.
It's me and Steph.
Can you hold it up? Any chance? Or if you turn the laptop?
It's like that.
Oh, my God. It's just a square.
It's square. Your head is cut out. And put on. It is so good. It is great.
Oh, I'm seeing it now. Dean Lundgren.
Hey, we're in a rebrand. We have to rebrand the show.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
And boy.
We're having some fun today. Either way.
Well, we're erasing the memory of Brian Hayes. Only he can bring it back.
Boy, he's going to be so... When he shows up here, he's going to be spitting nails. Here's a question for you, both of you. What could happen to get Brian Hayes in this studio? Like, what event in sports?
One is the Maple Leafs dropped off a bathtub full of chicken pesto penne.
Just alumni a box special.
Bathtub, yes.
Aaron Rodgers had a presser and said, I'm playing next week.
Ooh.
What did you say? Doughty?
I said.
Leafs acquire Doughty?
Leafs acquire
Doughty
Drew
or
Doughty.
Any other Burns something.
Burns, something like that. Like a big trade where they didn't give up a massive piece. It was futures or draft picks or, Marincin or something like that, but they were able to get...
That's what people, when I talk to people on the streets crazy, walking around Toronto, it's like, you can't trade Kasperi Kapanen, Martin Marincin...
And a fifth
for Doughty. Like, that doesn't work. It doesn't...
Rob Blake, if he made that deal, he would just pack up his briefcase and walk right out of the
general manager's office. But what do people... Like, I always wonder what people are thinking when they bring that up. Do they really believe it, or are they in the middle of their Xbox season and they propose it? They propose a trade
from the bridge. Like, they actually have these crazy conversations where you're like, you could package up this and this in a seventh and shoot it to San Jose for burnt. I'm like, right? Like, are you people on drugs?
What we need to do sometimes is you got to bring in guys like Craig Button, who've been a manager in the league.
He'll honestly walk out because he just won't deal with it. It's not funny.
That's the one thing. You think you can create this package, and then you call that team, and the team goes, no.
I don't want any one of those things.
And then
none of them.
It's a dead conversation. Like, I would love to hear Craig's stories. Craig tells a story, I believe he's told it on air, where he would get calls on Aginla all the time. Let me know when you want to trade Aginla. He'd be like, never, thank you, have a good day. Like, and that would be it. He said, I won't say the name, but he said, I can't remember the frequency, but it was at least once a year, this general manager was a pretty decorated general manager, would call him and say, I'll take Aginla off your hands. And he'd say, no, thank you, I'm good. Like it was like Aginla's a cancer or something, like, I'm just going to do you a favor and take Aginla off your hands. But like, that's the type of stuff where you just hang up the phone and you move on with your day.
But there is a reason to be persistent, right? Like,
absolutely.
I'll come back to the baseball examples where Alex Anthopoulos put the call in on Josh Donaldson, and then it happened 8-10 months later, right?
Well,
just because he stuck to it. You never know. Things can change, right?
It is a story here where Brian Burke had told Daryl Sutter, if you ever want to move Phaneuf, either financially or just moving on from the player, let me know. But I guess it was a conversation and a seed that was planted like for 2 years prior. So it ended up happening and, you know, life has gone on. But that's the type of stuff where, and I believe Daryl Sutter, there was another time where he went to Chicago and said, if you ever want to move Rennie Bork, he liked Rennie Bork, just let me know. And it was like 18 months later, they were going to move past him. He said, I'll give you a second rounder for him. Like it does happen, those conversations, but it doesn't just, you don't just call up and be like, hey, Drew Doughty, we'll give you this player and let's move on. Just doesn't happen.
All right, Tim Kirkjian of ESPN's Baseball Tonight to talk about the baseball playoffs at 5:30. Are you guys ready for a little Mow Your Lawn Monday?
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
I always kick this one off, Scotty. Do you have a little thing there or nugget to read?
I do.
Go ahead.
Mow Your Lawn Monday is brought to you by the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer in the heart of Cabbage Town. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to Regan and Jackie.
William Nylander and Austin Matthews could have flown back to Toronto and mowed your lawn. And there's, I got a feeling they have mowed some lawns in their life.
With more to come?
Whoa.
Yeah, for many
honestly,
years.
That's a quick flight. You get on the plane quick enough, like you can, you're at the bar by 1 a.m. if you want to be.
Their nicknames should be John Wick. A lot of kills.
Yes, they would have walked in and just commanded the bar. I'm going to go with an unpopular person that people hate, but I feel like this guy has to get some love, especially in Miami. Jay Cutler. Can you imagine? This guy is...
I know, he's something else.
People just look at his face and want to punch it. But, like, is he doing something in Miami that would give him some love?
Do you think he flies back from Atlanta on the team charter yesterday, hooks up with Chris Forster, the ex-O-line coach, and they spend Sunday night in South Beach?
It's possible.
Can you imagine the boys met up with the assistant coach and he just had the...
The time of his life.
Having the time of his life. They had the slopes already and just teed off on it.
Could you
anyway, imagine? Who's your guy, Scott?
Well, my guy probably didn't go to the bar because
right.
He's already got it at home.
Okay.
Justin Verlander, ooh. 9 innings, complete game. You don't see that much anymore. In game 2 against the Yankees, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, 13 Ks, 124 pitches.
Yeah, he'll walk into a bar and he'll mow your lawn.
And you know who else?
He's going home to Kate Upton, though. So,
no, but we're not talking about guys like possibly cheating on their spouses.
Right.
We're just saying if that guy walked into the bar
in Houston,
goodbye. Like, goodbye.
Having the time of his life.
Yes.
Here's the last
check, please. Let's get this done and John Wick time.
Last mow your lawn Monday, Scotty Mac to Brian Hayes.
Keep the gifts and the memes coming.
That's awesome.
Yes.
They're all over Twitter.
Because you mowed that man's lawn, and now it's your show, and we are having the time of our life.
Having the time of his life.
Tim Kirchin of ESPN's Baseball Tonight will join us next. Stay with us. This is, and I don't want to get this wrong, the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive on TSN 1050, the TSN Go app. O-Dog, Noodles, and the crying Jordan meme.
Really? It's gotten to that, eh?
Poor Hazy. Just lying
there. We've turned on him pretty quick.
Leg up and forgotten about.
Well, he won't be forgotten about with Aaron Rodgers. I think he'd just rattled. If the minute that he heard about Aaron Rodgers.
Did we shoot out the poll? What would get him back in here? Like, what would make him drive in for the 6 o'clock hour?
All right, the options.
Penne Pesto.
Doughty to the Leafs.
Yeah.
Rodgers press conference saying, I'm playing next week. I'm good for the year.
Or nothing.
All right. Which makes him so gutless because he should be in here anyway.
Well, that's what I think.
Yeah,
it's not like surgery.
Dougie Gilmore said he made dinner that night.
Off an ACL. Not even a meniscus. Just a meniscus. That's all it is. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, talk a little MLB playoffs from ESPN's Baseball Tonight. Tim Kirchin is here. Thanks for taking some time, Tim. How are you?
Well, fellas, how you doing?
Excellent.
Good, thanks.
So here we are, two games into both series. The Astros with a 2-0 series lead. Same for the Dodgers over the Cubs. If there's a team that's trailing that has a better shot at coming back, who is it?
I think it's the Cubs, because the Cubs, it was corny, the Cubs have been here before. They know how to win this time of year. They win some strange games because of that experience and that faith that, hey, we know how to win in October. I love the Yankees' talent. I never underestimate the Yankees, but I would say the Cubs, just because they're going home, as are the Yankees, but they're going home with an understanding that we came last year in the World Series and won, we can do it again.
What did you make of the decision last night with Lackey coming in? I know the skip was questioned after the game, and I don't think he was too thrilled about it, but he said what he said, and there's different opinions. There was a situation a couple of years ago with Showalter and Britton, I believe, where they decided to not bring him in. What did you make of what played out last night and how that was handled by Madden?
Well, first off, this time of year, in the second guessing on virtually every manager every night, more so this postseason than I think I've ever seen. And a half a dozen managers in this postseason have been pounded at one time or another, some deservedly so. To answer your question, I would have put Wade Davis in to start the ninth inning last night. He is your best reliever. John Lackey would be pitching 2 days in a row, which he's never done in his career. He'd thrown 27 pitches the night before, and he is a starting pitcher. I just can't bear, as a manager, to lose a game without my best relief pitcher pitching the ninth inning, if at all possible. Now, the rules, the unwritten rules of baseball say, when you're on the road like that, you save your pitcher for a save situation. And yet, all the rules, and you have to throw your best pitcher at the most important time. And I thought that was the ninth inning last night.
With Tim Kirchin of ESPN's Baseball Tonight, this is the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive on TSN 1050, the TSN Go app. Tim, do you think that managers are getting second-guessed, even third-guessed so much just because we haven't become accustomed to this new approach to the usage of pitchers in the playoffs? I mean, a lot of this, I don't know if Cleveland and Francona started it last year out of necessity or if it's Kansas City's bullpen of a few years ago, but this is kind of a new wave, and I just wonder if we haven't sort of adjusted, or maybe managers haven't adjusted at times.
Well, that's certainly possible. I think it goes back in a couple of years. History of the postseason, we've seen all the way back to Oral Hershiser 1988, is Cy Young season, pitching in relief, getting some huge out for the Dodgers as a starting pitcher coming out of the bullpen. This is not the new, but you're right. It's been used much more. Those starting pitchers and the use of bullpen have been changed in the postseason way more in the last few years than, say, 30 years ago. And yes, I just don't think everyone has adjusted to it. I also think, let's face it, social media is a part of this now, with millions of people tweeting every second, what is Joe Maddon doing? What is Joe Girardi doing? What is Dusty Baker doing? That's all part of it, too. It starts a conversation that simply wasn't.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Tim is,
he's gone.
Is cutting out there.
I'll tell you what.
As a tribute to Brian Hayes, we got to just throw ninja dust at him and just we're done, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Scotty, are you more
Are you
patient?
Trying to call him back? Because I don't want to say anything rude. And then the guy, we're calling him back?
Yeah.
I think
Tyler's working on it. All right.
Yeah,
there was only one more question I was going to ask. So if it doesn't work out, that's fine. But I should read the liner,
yes,
Noodles, before you jump in.
Just in case.
People
yes.
pay. Tim Kirkton joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. One day only. Receive free winter tires when you purchase any new vehicle during Maple Toyota's winter event Saturday, November 4th. Visit Maple Toyota next to Wonderland.
Okay.
We got to get a sponsor for the day for the Scotty Mac Show. Like, we got to get somebody to call and say, we'll sponsor you for the day. I don't know how that could happen. Like, the Scotty Mac Show brought to you by Brazzers.
Mandarin.
Mandarin
the would Mandarin be good. And Brazzers.
That's not a bad 1-2 punch.
Some sort of a buffet. Hey?
I like it.
Whoa, different, whoa,
whoa, a couple whoa, different whoa, kinds whoa. Of buffets.
Get off of that.
All right, Tim. All right. Tim Kirkton is back on the line. And to pick up on our conversation, Tim, about this new school use of pitching, I wonder, and it's all hypothetical and it doesn't matter now, because Verlander was awesome. No question about it on Saturday. He throws a complete game, 124 pitches, strikes out 13, one run over nine innings, five hits allowed. I wonder if the narrative about that game is different if it's 1-1 headed to the top of the ninth, A.J. Hinch stays with Verlander, and the Astros, say, lose 2-1.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I think if it's 1-1, somebody else, Kent Giles, the closer, is pitching the ninth inning. But this was a case where the Astros were ahead. I'm sure Verlander looked at his manager and said, I am finishing this. And part of the problem we have is that there are so few guys out there built like Justin Verlander who want to finish and who are conditioned and trained to finish. This is the big part of the issue is guys get to pro ball and they're told in A ball and rookie ball, five innings, 100 pitches, then we're going to get somebody else in here. So it is acceptable for starting pitchers to stop at seven. And I just thought it was so refreshing and so encouraging that a pitcher in his mid-30s said, no, I'm going to throw more pitches in this game than I have in any game this season because this is the playoffs and they need me now.
All right, Tim, thanks so much. We'll let you go just because we're having cell phone issues here. Appreciate it. We'll get Tim Kirkton back on next week. There you have it. Verlander, though, man, he was a horse on Saturday.
On fire.
You know, and I don't know. I mean, Houston's been through the run, man, in the last 6-8 weeks with the hurricane and the flooding and all that. Right now, they got a baseball team in the playoffs.
Well, they also have a baseball team, and I generally like to get my facts straight, but I think it was Keuchel that came out and said, we didn't do enough at the deadline here. What?
He did.
He said, I don't know what the hell we're doing.
I'm disappointed.
Yeah. Which is the ultimate slap in the face. Like, I think me and Jamie grew up in eras where we're like, we can't say that on TV because that's so disrespectful. But these guys now, they don't care. They're just like, they're like, what are we doing? We're not trying to. And he came out and said that. Well, and then after that, two weeks later, they went and got Verlander.
Right up against the August deadline. But you guys would have a thought on this. Just the idea of hoarding your prospects. I mean, it doesn't matter what the sport is. I mean, how many... The Leafs, we talk about the Leafs' depth, right?
Right.
There are NHL players right now playing for the Toronto Marlies, yeah, right? Who could be third, fourth liners on some other NHL team. They're blocked right now. They're blocked right now. The Houston Astros have the same situation where they are stacked around the diamond and they've got guys underneath who aren't going to get regular MLB jobs,
right?
Because there isn't an available position.
So at some point you're going to have to do something. If you're not, if you're Houston, are you going to have to do something?
Let me see.
I know. The people are just sending the text in. It's awesome.
Here's another one. Dropping the puck at the Barry game.
Oh, no.
I love it.
You can't do that. Someone did that?
I think
so. At the Brian Hayes appreciation night.
Oh. And they got rid of him from that?
They cut it. They cut his face out and put in Scotty Max.
Oh.
It is damning.
Yeah. I think that's a bad Instagram photo that's been posted. All right. I'm gonna keep hitting retweets here. I mean, we got something going. But about the prospects, you know, the guys who are blocked.
It's nice to have depth, but I would argue the Leafs would probably look at guys like Kapanen. He's going to play for the Leafs this year. They're going to have to make decisions on Komarov. Players like that who are pending unrestricted free agents. I'm not suggesting JVR, but they still have to do something with JVR. Because if you either sign him to a long-term deal, and that's another conversation, because I think it was Dregs or Pierre floated or Bobby Mack floated that he was looking maybe long-term, less money type of thing. You have to make decisions not only for this season, but for the future. So if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're thinking Mike Babcock's going to put in Kapanen at some point if he comes up, but you're going to move somebody out. So, and you have to factor in injuries. Look at the Edmonton Oilers. I just was reading that Draisaitl and Kajulia won't play tomorrow. So it's going to test their depth. So, again, knocking on wood for the Leafs, but they had 9 players play 82 games last year. That may not be the case this year. You hope it is, but if it's not, that's where your depth comes in. I don't know where Houston was with their injuries. Obviously, baseball is different than hockey. But if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, it comes back to the Pickard trade the other day. And I was talking to somebody last night. Why would you get Pickard if you're comfortable with McElhinney? Because if Frederick Anderson tweaks a groin, it's McElhinney and Sparks. Now all of a sudden it's McElhinney and Pickard with Sparks as a safety blanket. Now you add to the depth of your organization. So
how old
is
Garrett Sparks? I have a question to ask you.
I think he's 20.
All hockey DBM.
Yeah, I think he's 23.
So at what point do you actually look at that as an asset and say, like, can he ever get it done? And I know goaltenders, there's always stories where they come along later down the road.
Yeah.
But he's 24.
Sorry.
24 years old. I mean, when we were playing in the league, it's like if you were 24 and not
he's
doing your thing, you were gone. Like, you were just...
He had a good season for the Marlies last year, but he only played 31 games. So I'm just looking at his stats now. They moved away from Antoine Bebo, and Bebo signed in San Jose as a depth guy.
So many crazy stories in goaltending, though. One, the biggest one is Bobrovsky going, like, they had him and Neuwirth in Philly, and they were like, yeah, just get rid of him to Columbus, and this guy just won 2 Vezinas.
Yeah.
Like, there's crazy stories like that. Dubnyk's another one.
Philadelphia has never been, like, they haven't had a goaltender
in
since
30
Ron
years.
Hextall.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a real...
Since you could argue they made the mistake of passing on Cujo in the summer of 98 and bringing in Van Beesbrouck, right?
Yeah, at the end
they passed on Cujo.
They've
crazy stuff.
They've always gone in a way either they're doing it by tandem again this year. Brian Elliott, statistically pretty good goaltender, and I think he's a good goaltender, but I don't think he's a starter. And this is what drives me nuts when you start to just quote stats and save percentage. You don't look at when the guy played, as far as did he play the front end of a back-to-back or the back end? Because I don't know how many people send me, like, oh, McElhinney's save percentage. Okay, well, take a look at, actually dive into the depth of his starts. He's not getting a nice Saturday night home start where the team's been rested for 3 days. He's playing third game in 4 days with travel involved. That's the job of a backup. So a backup needs to give you 500 hockey, half your win. They got to give you half the games that they play as a win. I start looking at Did anybody, are you shocked at Antti Raanta struggling in Arizona? Who thought he could be a starting goaltender? Like, obviously, the numbers guy, the general manager there, but yeah, like he's not a starting goaltender. But the guy played 30 games or 25 games behind Lundqvist. It's different because...
You want to talk about, I'll do the noodles face? Arizona
face.
Out there?
Yeah, it was a...
Well...
They looked awful against Vegas.
Poor Tocchet came out and apologized.
When your coach five games in has to apologize to your fans because of performances like that,
it's awful. I love Tock, and I think he's a bright hockey mind. They're trying to bottom out there. They've got some good young players.
Bottom out? They've been... Haven't they been
doing that? They're pretty
good at it. They've been good at it.
They've been pretty good at it.
But, I mean, at some point, it's going to have to turn the tables. It's going to have to turn in a positive way. And you look at poor guy like Oliver Ekman-Larsson, some of the best years of his hockey are being eaten up by awful teams. At some point, he may just look at the general manager, Chajka, and say, check, please, get me out of here. Because I'd love to see a playoff game. I'd love to see some competitive secondary hockey.
Mike chiming in on Twitter, pull the reverse and blindside Hayes with a Robidoux Island. Hashtag LTIR, long-term injured reserve.
Just put them somewhere, like in a little office around here. And
yeah, don't let them flee to SoCal or something
get
like that.
Get funny clips for us when we want them.
You know what it is Hayes is on a MyPillow, and he's passed out.
Oh, he is just watching porn, and he's having the time of his life.
Having the time of his life!
That is an important sponsor mention, too. Yeah. Noodles, very, very good product placement. Bobby Mack coming up to lead off hour number three. Alex Marvez, spin you around the NFL. Rodgers is out. Kaepernick going after the owners for collusion. He'll never play in the league again. I mean,
you wouldn't think so now.
He probably wasn't, but now you can't imagine going after the 32 of them. He's got any shot. So we'll get into that so much more. It's, and again, I got to get this right, the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive, TSN 1050 and the TSN Go app.
Got to try to find a way to get something sponsored out of this Scotty Mac and Cheese or something. Imagine that.
The Big Monday. A big Monday on the Scotty Mac Show with Overdrive.
What about the Scotty Mac Supreme on a Monday? Mac and cheese and bacon on it.
Oh.
Yummy.
An hour to dinner, An hour to dinner. Bobby Mack will join us next hour. Alex Marvez as well. Rodgers is down. It will be surgery, so his season's likely over. And Colin Kaepernick, did he just erase any shot he may have had to play in the NFL again? We'll deal with all of that. Hour number three of the Scotty Mac Show featuring Overdrive. This is TSN 1050, the TSN Go app.